Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It is Bud Pod 186.
186?
Yeah.
186. Tory Party, make your picks.
Very nice.
We are live podding during the final moments of the race to get on the ballot for Tory Party leader and Prime Minister of these United Kingdoms. It's very exciting. It's between Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt. Penny is far behind. She says she's got a lot of MPs back in her. They each need 100 to get on the ballot to go to the members' vote. Tory Party members, the biggest fucking lunatics in the country, who seem intent on destroying the nation that they apparently love. I don't know why. And the Tory Party seems intent on giving them a vote on everything. But it looks like hopefully it won't come to that, and Rishi will be the only one with over 100 MP nominations, and will just become Prime Minister this afternoon. Pierre, dare we stand a short king?
And people are surprised to find out how short he is, because he looks tall, he's thin, and he dresses well.
It's one of my biases, Pierre. It's a halo effect. He's handsome, he's well dressed, ergo in our minds he must be tall, but he's not. He's small.
He's a little mathematical man. He's a little finance man. And
he's itty bitty Rishi. Itty bitty dishy Rishi.
Yes.
He's an itty bitty dish. He wouldn't be out of place in a tapas restaurant, Pierre, because he's a little dish.
We should clarify, the reason that we're saying that Penny Mordaunt's in the running is because we're recording half an hour before we find out if she actually has the MPs or not. She might not.
She might not. It's looking pretty desperate.
Yeah. She's lifting up sofa cushions looking for MPs under there.
Of course, last night, Boris Johnson pulled out of a leadership race. He cut short his holiday in Bermuda to attend. Very funny. Very funny to abandon a family holiday in Bermuda to make one last go at stroking your ego and destroying the country further, and find that you don't actually have enough support to do it. And so now he's come back from holiday for nothing. It's good stuff. I bet Carrie is thrilled.
Yes, I think on the long list of things she could be annoyed at him about, this is probably the worst after all the really bad stuff. That's the top 20.
Yes. Oh, this is, I mean, but part of my thinking when he was almost maybe going to do it was, surely Carrie's not going to let him do this. Surely not. Surely she's had enough.
I think if Boris was the kind of person who could take into account what his wife wanted, he would not be Boris Johnson.
But isn't the whole thing about Carrie, like, she's like the one who can actually hold his reins a little?
I mean, maybe, till she's not. God knows.
Yeah. But anyway, very, very funny. And though it's unlikely to be the end of the last major thing Boris Johnson does in British politics, hopefully it is, because it's he deserves to go out not with a bang, but a whimper. And Lord knows he likes a bang.
Yes, yes. Well, we saw the temporary return of sort of jokes like a final season of the UK bleh, with jokes about Boris Johnson pulling out.
First time ever Boris Johnson has pulled out of anything. Except he hasn't. Except he pulled out. He's pulled out of a Tory leadership contest before, hasn't he? Yeah. So it's not even the first time he's pulled out of a Tory leadership contest.
Can we do...
Know your stuff. Be as obsessed with this as I am, please.
Can we please do better when it comes to making fun of Boris Johnson and maybe focusing less on cum and hair. Those seem to be the two areas of humor people go for. He cums a lot, and his hair's weird. Yes, we know.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, those are his two most defining characteristics, hair and cum. But there is more to the man, too. Don't forget how evil he is, for example.
Don't forget his many, many lies and his evil deeds.
His lies and how violent he is.
Yes,
and
crude and stupid in so many ways. So all round bad egg. All round a bad egg.
I was so thrilled. It was such an alien feeling to open up a BBC News notification and go, yes! I can't remember the last time that happened, but it happened last night when I saw that he was not running.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, still he got a dangerous amount of support. I mean, my God, the team was there ready, but next time.
But the interesting thing is the people who did publicly back him have now kind of screwed themselves because they've outed themselves as people dumb, careeristic, and gullible enough to back him again this time. So now everyone knows who those people are. The whole thing is a real interesting case in game theory, right? It's literally the prisoner's dilemma of, you know, if I back Boris and he wins, then I've got a good job. If I back Boris and he doesn't, then I'm in the shit.
I don't know, though, because the membership like Boris and loads of people in the party do, so I don't think it'll be held against them.
I don't think loads of people in the party do anymore. I think they know that he's toxic. I think they know that he's...
No, they did the poll. That's why people said that if it went to the members, he would win.
Oh, the members, yeah. Exactly. No. I think the Tory party now, anyone sensible in the Tory party is not thinking about what the members want because there's a general election coming in at least... January 2025.
Sure, but if you're an MP and you know that your district is like full of Boris lunatics, then you need those guys to be activists for you. You actually need them. So it would be good for you to say that you want Boris back.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Boris's approval with the members is the highest it will be among any group in the country, and it's still at about... I mean, it's high. It'll be about 60%, 70%, something like that.
Oh, look, it's not like if we're talking like in terms of just completely, well, if we're talking in the terms that the Tories are, which is completely internal, navel-gazing, self-obsessed psychodrama, then, you know. Imagine if Rishi can't pass a budget. Imagine if he can't pass the Halloween budget and then he collapses and then Boris comes back again from presumably another holiday somewhere nice. Fucking hell.
But I think the important thing to remember is that now that it's between Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt, we have the choice of two absolute slamming hotties. And that is something this country can be proud of.
Yeah, it's rare for the British political system to produce anyone that doesn't look a bit odd.
Yeah. Whereas Rishi and Penny are... They make me do cartoon wolf eyes. Both of them. Anytime I see a picture of Rishi Sunak or Penny Mordaunt, I do big cartoon wolf eyes.
Yeah.
They bounce out of my head and I leap off the ground for a bit.
And you have to hit yourself in the head with that big medicinal hammer.
Yeah, they both fit though. I think they're both really fair.
There's an argument.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah?
Well, there's an argument I've heard said before that because of how often this happens, that the next prime minister is just chosen by the country's maddest fuckers in the form of the Tory party membership, that if no matter what your views are, like even if you are like a card-carrying communist, you should just join the Tory party because you'll get more input into who's running the country than even just voting every election.
This is it, and I have considered joining the Conservative Party in the last few years just so that I can pick the Prime Minister, which seems to be something the Tory Party members get to do once every 3 months. But at the same time, you have to come to peace with the fact that you're donating funds to the Tory Party.
That's true. That's true.
But that's how they get you.
It'd be good it'd be funny if just like enough madly left-wing by their standards people just joined. I mean, how would that affect all the stump speeches? They wouldn't know what to do. They'd be like...
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Tory party are at least cunning enough to instill a rule that you have to be a member for 3 months or 6 months in order before you are allowed to cast a vote. Whereas what the Labour Party did when Jeremy Corbyn ran for Labour leader the first time was there was no minimum time at all. So you could join the Labour Party and vote for Jeremy Corbyn straight away, which is something that a lot of right-wing people did to fuck the Labour Party.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's kind of a thing, like a bunch of Tories bought a Labour membership and voted for Jeremy Corbyn and then quit.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. Well, then you just need a bit of organization. Oh, I don't know. I just want an election, Phil. It's all I want.
My kingdom for an election. For who will run my kingdom?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But instead, we're going to sit around and wait for all the 90-year-olds to agree that Rishi Sunak is going to do the best by their pension funds. It just feels like it's been austerity since we graduated uni, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the development from that austerity is apparently a worse austerity.
Yeah, austerity's gone so well for the last decade that everything's still on fire and we need to have more badness.
Yeah, but it's Brexit, you know? That's Brexit. Brexit is when the country voted for Brexit, it voted for more austerity, it voted to be poor, and it voted to be an international laughingstock for a generation at least.
How soon can we undo it? How soon after you have announced to your entire school that you are going to make a functioning pair of wings, and then you jump off the school roof and you smash your bones? How soon do you announce to the school that you're abandoning Project Eagle?
Well, I think you have to wait till enough of the students graduate this and leave the school, if you catch my analogy, Pierre.
They go to the big university of life in the sky.
Yeah. They go to the big UCAS form in the sky.
Yeah.
Are they still doing polls on how much of the country still actually fucking wants Brexit? Surely at this point, most of the country doesn't want it anymore.
You'd think so, but then I think it's like there's astonishing graphs about how immigration, everyone like got really friendly towards immigration the 2 years after Brexit, because it was like they'd busted their big hate nut. And
right, interesting.
In their relief, they'd gone, no, we like immigrants now that we can be sure that they deserve it, which is not the case because it was still operating on the same rules. It was just a completely emotional outburst.
Yeah.
But then maybe, I don't know, like, would people then go, oh, no, we can't go back to that, because then blah would start happening again. And then, like, for blah, insert something bad here. But maybe if we went back, we could say, because half the stuff that made Brexity people Brexity and gave the Daily Mail fuel and the Sun was policies that the UK didn't have to follow anyway. We could have just not.
Yeah.
Or you just do what the French do and just make up the rules as you go and pay a fine every now and then. I mean, why not? I don't know.
Oh, right. Is that what they do?
Seem to be, especially with the agricultural stuff. You know what French farmers are like? Parking a tractor on the highway and burning a load of barrels and whatever.
Those fucking frogs. But, I mean, I don't think it will. It's very unlikely it will go to the members at all today.
It would be interesting.
I'd love if it didn't.
Because even if it did and it was just Rishi on the ballot, do they still get to vote no?
Oh, no. If it's only one, if it's only Rishi, he becomes PM. They don't go to a vote. It only goes to a vote if there's more than one nominee. If there's more than one person who's got 100 MPs backing them.
Oh, thank
so if
God.
It's just okay. Rishi, he becomes Prime Minister. Yeah. Only go to the members if Penny Mordaunt gets 100.
Well, I say thank God, but I mean, Penny Mordaunt is a much more sensible and centre-bound person than Rishi. So, like, in reality, I should be praying that she's on it and praying that the members somehow choose her. But
yeah, but I think there's more. I mean, the thing now is like trust in Britain as a financially sensible country, and I think. Because Rishi Sunak is a known asset in that regard, he'll probably be a little better for the markets and all that sort of thing. And also, we want someone who is sensible, that we don't descend into utter hell over the next 2 years, but also unpopular enough that Labour win the next general election.
Yeah,
Penny Mordaunt, I think, would be that popular.
Would be too popular. Yeah, I think that's true. Because Rishi Sunak gave us lots of, you know, lovely money to help us all not die of starvation from COVID times, but equally, yeah, he's like very, very pro-austerity and anti-helping people out with money.
Yeah, and pro-Brexit.
Oh, God, yes, he is. Yep.
But and also now he can't buy everyone's favour because there's no money left to give out. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yep. Oh, God. Well, you know, in other news about disappointing outcomes for some people, we have a shocking we have a shocking secret to share with you listeners. We are going to do a BudPod live, but before you cheer and jump out of your seat and run to the window and ask the boy in the street what day this is, before you do all that, 11th of February 2023, we advertised BudPod Live exclusively to patrons, and it sold out just from the Patreon.
Yes. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We're sorry.
Yep.
If you didn't manage to get a ticket, but I mean, it's a great advert for being on the Patreon because you find out about these things first.
Yeah. It's true.
But the headline is we finally overcame the naysayers, aka me, and decided to do a BudPod live.
Yep.
Just to stick it to the man, and that man being me. I said it would never happen, and by God, I've proved myself wrong, and I hope I learn from that.
The repressive dictatorship of Phil Wang has been overthrown and replaced with the generous, open-handed God Emperor of Phil Wang.
I'm eating humble pie that I have baked myself and I'm feeding myself.
And that you like.
And that I like.
However, fear not, listeners. Because this event sold out basically in 2 days, 3 days, e.g. the advance notice period the Patreon subscribers got, we will be looking into doing another one in London as a result, because it took us by surprise how much hunger, vicious hunger there was, clearly.
But also keep in mind that we will, as because we've promised it, we will have to announce it to the patrons first.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize that our patrons are basically like a Tory party membership, and they have an outweighed influence on the BudPod. But yeah, if you sign up to our Patreon, you find out about these things first, and you get first dibs on tickets to any live BudPods we do. But worry not if you missed out on this one. We will book in another live BudPod at some point.
Yes, and in theory, if we can do it close enough to the February one, the patrons will be so sated that they won't need to come see another one, and you guys will get a better shot.
Yes. Or maybe they'll be so disgusted they won't want to come see another one.
Yes.
Either way, your quid's in.
That's right. And if you are feeling like in the new year you would like to experience BudPod vibes live, do not forget, for the love of God, that I'm doing my Edinburgh Fringe show, Why Can't I Just Enjoy Things, from the 30th of January to the 4th of February.
Yes, go, go, go. Go, go, go.
Soho Theatre, downstairs, cabaret seating, small tables, bar downstairs, but also upstairs, depending. Good time.
Also, just a reminder that if you live in the UK or Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, or Northern Ireland, please get on my website, because I'm going on tour there in spring. I'm coming to you, whether you live in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, or the Republic of Ireland. Thank you.
And depending on what date you see Phil, you might see a familiar face before
it's
you see Phil.
It's true.
It's Boris Johnson. He's got another gig.
Boris is opening for me. Boris Johnson's opening for me. I'm very excited to have Boris Johnson opening for me on my tour. I think he's learnt from his mistakes. I think he's a new man. I think what you're going to see is that Boris Johnson, I've always known, was very, very responsible.
Yep.
Thoughtful.
Yep.
And funny man.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Is there a particular date that you and Boris are looking forward to, Phil?
I'm looking forward to them all, really. Some of the rooms are quite big. They're big, even for as big a personality as me and Boris Johnson. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if we can fill those rooms out. But I, for prudent reasons, am equally excited about every single city I'm going to.
Ah.
Exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah.
No favorite children?
No. Non-public, anyway.
We are 4 minutes away from finding out, Phil, if Rishi Sunak is the first ever non-white prime minister.
Yeah, that'd be quite something, eh? The first ever non-Christian prime minister as well.
Oh, God. Excuse me. God. Yep, yes, that is something. Yeah,
that's how Pierre reacts to the news now. If he's really surprised, he'll sneeze.
I sneeze. I react to any diversity milestones by sneezing like some terrible... Yeah. biological racist. Yes, that's true. I had not even considered that because in my head, so many British politicians are basically atheists anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But even like David Cameron and Boris Johnson both said the same weird analogy for when they got asked if they were Christian as well. They like literally word for word said the same thing.
What did they say?
They said their Christian faith was like a radio station that you're trying to you're tuned into when you're driving through the Cotswolds.
Okay.
Through all the valleys.
So
sometimes that you can hear it and sometimes it goes away. Like it fades in and out, but it's kind of always there.
Yeah, that's a decent analogy, I suppose.
Yeah, but creepy that they both used it word for word exactly the same.
But didn't Boris just copy David Cameron?
Yeah, but even that's creepy because no one ever said, oh, you're copying me or whatever. It's more like, it feels more like a strategic, almost like something they learned at Eton, just to go, well, say this if anyone asks. There's something eerie about it because there's copying and then there's copying something. Like a phrase to be copied is one thing, but an entire paragraph that's about your spiritual outlook on the world, that's creepy.
that does feel prepared and agreed upon.
It feels like someone's gone
practice.
Say it's like a radio station that keeps fading in and out when you're driving through what's somewhere that conservatives love? The Cotswolds. Yes, bang on, perfect.
I mean first non-white prime minister, first non-Christian prime minister, first Hindu prime minister. At least I saw on Twitter that he's Hindu. It's interesting that I guess it's not quite the significant milestone it would be had Rishi Sunak been elected by the public. That milestone's probably yet to come. I mean, it is yet to come. But still, it's very notable that we very likely have a first non-white prime minister. then we will have had female prime ministers and a non-white prime minister. Your turn, America.
Yeah, they got there ahead of us with non-white, but no ladies so far.
No ladies.
I'm just Googling it. Rishi Sunak will be named, potentially be named Prime Minister on Diwali. It is Diwali today.
Yeah. I grew up knowing it as Deepavali. In Malaysia, Diwali was always called Deepavali.
Really?
I don't know why it's something. It's
a different dialect.
It must be, yeah.
Deepavali. Okay. Yes, it says he is Hindu, actually. Because sometimes it's like, wasn't there someone... A British Asian who was like, yeah, but no. Like, they just sort of said, yeah, nothing really. Was that Priti Patel?
What?
It was another one of the Tories. It was one of the
current... describing the contents of her heart. yeah, there's nothing in there, really.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like knocking on a big hollow wooden chest.
Oh, shit, Penny Mordaunt's withdrawn.
You're joking.
Yep.
God
yep,
damn.
Yep. Penny Mordaunt has withdrawn. Dishy Rishi, the short king, is Prime Minister of the UK, looks like.
We now have two kings, King Charles and a short king.
Yeah, Penny Mordaunt's withdrawn. What is her statement? Our party is our membership. Boo. Whether we are elected representatives, activists, fundraisers, or supporters, we all have a stake in who our leader is.
What are you seeing this?
These are unprecedented times. This is Penny Mordaunt's. She's just put out this statement.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Penny Mordaunt. Keep going.
These are unprecedented times. Yeah, we know, Penny. Despite the compressed timetable for the leadership contest, it is clear that colleagues feel we need certainty today. They have taken this decision in good faith for the good of the country, like they always do. Members should know that this proposition has been fairly and thoroughly tested by the agreed 1922 process. As a result, we have now chosen our next Prime Minister. This decision is an historic one and shows once again the diversity and talent of our party. Does that mean, is that an allusion to him being Indian? Rishi has my full support. I'm proud of the campaign we ran and grateful to all those. What campaign? It was 2 days. I'm proud of the campaign we ran and grateful to all those across all sides of our party who gave me their backing. All five of them. But we all owe it to the country, to each other, and to Rishi to unite and work together for the good of the nation.
We owe it
there
to Rishi.
There is much work to be done. Yeah, we owe it all to the country, to each other, and to Rishi. Yeah, that's odd, isn't it? He owe it to Rishi.
He's not my fucking uncle. She's phrased that like Rishi's notably gone through like a bit of a rough time lately.
Yeah. Everyone be nice to Rishi, okay?
He's only just become Prime Minister, okay? Very funny to lose to Liz Truss and then for her to just shit the bed so violently that you get the job anyway.
Also, this I fucking hate this pretending to be stepping aside for the sake of unity in the country when is simply because you didn't get enough backing.
Yeah, sort of go like, I will nobly surrender my empty gun. That has no bullets. Pound latest. It's funny to see. Imagine being Boris Johnson and knowing that when you fly back to your country to try and save it, the currency crashes. So funny.
Yeah, the chart of the value of the pound follows the descent of his plane into Gatwick. It's the same shape. as the plane lands, the pound just sinks.
Yeah, the pound's at its strongest when the plane is trying to fly directly into the sun.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, how about that? Our first non-white, well, our first Indian heritage Prime Minister on Diwali. Mm-hmm. That's quite something. That's quite the coincidence.
It's also like, I always knew that the first time that we had a non-white Prime Minister, it would be a Tory.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing, isn't it? And you can make like arguments for, well, you know, the Conservative Party is the one that really... is open to all as long as you share the same values. But also, it's just a numbers game. Odds are the Conservative Party is in charge. So odds are, if there is going to be a female prime minister or a prime minister of color, it's going to be under a Tory government, just because they are usually in charge. But maybe I'm being generous to Labour there. Maybe Labour does have a problem. But anyway, we have our first PMOC. We have a PMOC. We have our first PMOC.
You finally have a PMOC.
Yeah. How about that?
Gosh, yes. And if it was Penny Mordaunt, we could have had a PMPM.
Yes, that was her slogan, her campaign slogan, PM for PM.
A PM for a PM. It's time for a PM squared. Yeah. Do you think she's going to get a cool job now that she said a nice thing?
I don't know. Has she left it too late? I mean, she dropped out at the deadline. I don't think that counts.
she
dropped out at the deadline of 2 p.m.
She dropped out the minute she had to. Very noble.
Yeah. Very noble from Penny. I don't know. I don't know.
We need an election, please.
We do definitely need an election. We desperately need an election. But they're not going to do it. Not no time soon. And they're going to say it's for the sake of stability, but it's because they would be trounced.
Yeah, but that would be so funny to go for an election and for them to get down to like a Lib Dem number of MPs.
Yeah.
That would be so funny.
According to one poll, was it last week? The SNP would become the opposition party if we had a general election.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, then it would just... Do you think then that the UK would just degenerate into like a sort of should we exist or not election battle constantly?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if the SNP was the opposition party, it would just be the government and then the opposition party who wants to be in a different country. That would be a first, surely.
Yeah, well, you just have to stand up every day and just gesture around the room and go, I don't think any of this should even be happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just standing up and saying, I don't want to be here.
But yeah, cool. Here we go. First ever non-white prime minister. I mean, that's something. Do you think that'll become a thing at all? Do you think this is the issue that the progressive left will always have, which is that diversity is not always progressive. At least not by their standards. So, I wonder if there'll be any sort of celebration from the traditional left of having a first non-white prime minister.
Yeah.
They wanted so badly to have their Obama moment, Pierre. So badly. The British left. Can you think about that? I mean, and the British left will never have that now.
No, that's true. That's gone forever, isn't it? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. No chance. Literally.
Mm.
Oh man. Yes, that's true. I don't think we'll see any celebration. I mean, there was that Labour MP who had to get suspended for a bit or in trouble or something for saying that Kwasi Kwarteng was like, what did she say? He's only technically black or something?
Yeah. Superficially black, I think she said.
Yeah, it's not great stuff. Not useful.
But again, and this is where Keir Starmer is good. Just instantly she was ejected from the party, I think. Or no, suspended. Instantly suspended. So yeah, but this is a problem that the far left has. They're so obsessed with race that they sometimes go full 180 and say some real racist shit under the guise of being progressive, because apparently they decide what a black person thinks or what a non-white person thinks.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I can't wait to see the hot takes from people with Twitter brain disease.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon there'll be a couple of things like, putting aside politics, we should take a moment to appreciate where the country's got to a place where we have a non-white prime minister.
I guess if I was a propagandist, yes, you know,
yeah,
trying to get hot takes on shit, I would say, well, it's a good thing it didn't go to the members because of they are racist, and they would have said no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I think that's pretty likely. I reckon if it did go to the members, Penny Mordaunt would have won. I mean, that's not based on very much, but that's my inkling.
It's your vibe check.
I
think that's it. I think that's fair. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, we'll see. But how momentous! It's finally happened. The UK has gone. Well, how many? We'd had thanks to Liz Truss, and I was already forgetting her name. Ha 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 ha. Three female prime ministers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three FPMs, and now what did you say? A
PMOC. A PMOC.
Prime Minister colour. Yes, a PMOC. We finally have our own PMOC.
Also, wasn't Liz Truss the first prime minister not to have gone to private school or to have gone to comprehensive? Is that right?
Surely, just the first Tory prime minister not to.
Oh, yeah.
She can't have been the first one ever. That would be insane.
Right, yeah, first Tory.
We'd have heard nothing but facts that no prime minister has ever not been to state school. Because I think John Major went to state school.
Oh, but he was a Tory prime minister.
Oh, did he go to a grammar? Oh, hang on. This is going to bug me. We've got to clear this up.
It's a disgrace in any case, Pierre.
It is a disgrace.
I think we've still not taken stock of just how weird Liz Truss was. She's just a flat-out weird person.
We never got the chance to see the full extent of how deeply unsettling she is.
Yeah. Liz Truss has claimed she's the first prime minister to have attended comprehensive school. What does that mean? What is comprehensive school again?
Comprehensive is a state school that isn't selective in any way. It's just like the local school.
Oh, I see.
And like a lot of schools that were grammars but state schools became comps or are still grammars depending on where in the country you are. But you have to pass a test to get in.
Well, I'm afraid she's not a great advert for the comprehensive schools, as uncomfortable as that is.
Well, her dad is a professor of mathematics, so what the hell does he very think? Odd.
Well, you know how kids rebel.
Yeah, so if you...
She's rebelled by being shit at maths.
If it's a state-funded place, like a grammar, then like John Major State School, Margaret Thatcher State School, James Callaghan State School, Harold Wilson State School, Edward Heath State School.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think those are all grammars and very selective and, you know, property market, you just buy a house next door and blah, blah, blah.
Right, gotcha. Well, there we have it. Our first PMOC and I'll say it, he's fuckable. There, I said it, okay? Let's draw a line under it and move on like grown-ups, okay? But yeah, we should probably do a tiny bit of correspondence. We have a couple minutes left.
We'll do a blob of correspondence from...
A little dab. Yeah. Just dab some correspondence.
Yeah, open a little bottle of correspondence and sniff it and put it back in our coat. Like in a dodgy cop in a film. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Okay. We have a message from Georgina.
Georgina, have you seen her? She's here.
She's here, so you keep your eyes peeled. Wait, is this old?
Is this old correspondence?
Oh, I wish people wouldn't... Oh no, maybe this is not... I mean, it is all old correspondence because of our awful pace, but... No, I don't think I have read this. Let's see if it sounds familiar as I read it, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Georgina says, "Dear Poostage and Peekaging."
No, I think I would have remembered that.
Yeah, I think we'd remember that.
That's good.
Yes, she says, first of all, I need to apologize to Pierre for my fiancé and me accosting him after one of his shows at the Camden Fringe. Spurred on by a significant volume of low-quality Merlot, I felt that my praise for the show and the podcast should not be redacted, but spilled over you in a tumbler of delighted verbal diarrhea.
Oh, that's nice.
I think I remember this. That it was. We need to catch up with our correspondent somehow, but, you know, that's always been the case. Twas ever thus. You were very nice and modestly accepting my compliments. I'm not sure if you're aware, but when we both told you that we were historians, my partner then got into a conversation with the brilliant Alex Keeley, who had misheard and asked him what kind of historians we are. Yes, I do remember this, yeah. Yes. I remember Alex going, you're historians. It's like, no, it was about Pierce.
Poor Alex. That must have been a real anticlimax when he found out.
She says, I think he was disappointed to learn that rather than being scholars of modern European history or ancient civilizations, we are in fact just people who have heard an inordinate number of stories about people shitting themselves in every way imaginable. I've recommended the podcast to lots of people. Thank you.
I
am an obstetrician and gynecologist.
Obs and gynae. Obs and gynae. Now there's a cop duo. Obs and gynae.
Obs and gynae. Sergeant Obs and Detective Gynae.
That's cool.
They call us Obs and Gyne because we're always looking into cunts.
Nice.
That's what he'd say to the mafia boss to kind of unnerve him and kind of be a cool tough guy.
And then Gynae pops his head around and goes, plus we always deliver.
Yes. Very nice. And the magnifying glass is also a speculum. They can just open people's orifices.
Nice.
With it. I'm an obstetrician and gynecologist, so as you can imagine, the people I work with have fairly strong stomachs regarding...
orifices.
No. Yeah, the people I work with have fairly strong stomachs, and jokes regarding bodily fluids are commonplace. One person I haven't yet been able to recommend the podcast to, however, is my 5-year-old niece. Yes.
Ah, well, not too late.
No. I don't know if podcasts have an age advisory certificate, but I suspect her ears are a little too young for BudPod just yet. However, as this story shows, I think she'll be a PodBud in the future. I like the idea that a large chunk of our most dedicated listeners are like graphic designers and medical professionals.
Yes, yes. I think it reflects very well on us and on the cerebral nature of our poo chat.
Definitely. So the story...
And aesthetic nature of our
Yes, the aesthetic nature. High quality. Yeah. So the story is, I recently had my family over to my new house, including the ever-growing cohort of children that my sisters have been busy producing over the last few years. The nation owes you a great debt. The oldest of which are my 5-year-old niece, Jess, and my 4-year-old nephew, Seb. I was retrieving something from upstairs and could hear them playing in the next room, where they stumbled upon an as-yet unopened door.
Secret door.
What do you think is in there? Said Jess in a stage whisper. I don't know, said Seb with trepidation. Maybe unicorns or treasure. Although I did see a ghost earlier, so he might live in there.
Good. Are these children trying to prove that they're children to someone? Are they trying to to prove to anyone listening that they're children? Yes. Are they not children? And are they aliens in disguise as children?
They're undercover cops. It's Obs and Gynae.
Of course.
Undercover as kids, yeah.
Try not to blow the cover, yeah.
It would be so hard to explain to a kid what you meant if you said to a kid while they were talking this gibberish, God, you're being such a classic kid right now. Great work.
Yeah, it's true. They've not developed their meta capabilities.
No. I don't know, said Seb with trepidation. Maybe unicorns or treasure, although I did see a ghost earlier, so he might live in there. Which is good logic from Seb, I think.
Also so casually dropped that he's seen a ghost. Although to be fair, I did see a ghost earlier, so he might be there.
Yeah.
I'm like, not even scared.
Yeah. Like you saw a bird. Let's have a look, exclaimed Jess, barely containing her excitement at the possibilities that lay ahead. Jess is by far the bravest of all the cousins and takes her role as pack leader very seriously.
Yes.
Good for Jess. I heard the sound of an opening door and then a cry from Jess. It's the toilet! Followed by delighted screams and the sound of small feet running inside onto the tiled floor.
What? What? They do sound like Bud Pod listeners.
Yeah.
Why are they so excited by the toilet?
I passed the door of the bathroom a few seconds later to see Jess pointing at the toilet in fits of giggles, shouting to Seb, people do poos in there. She was doubled over with laughter while Seb stood next to her, looking between her and the toilet with a bemused expression.
That's so funny. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, Seb's jaded. He's seen a ghost today, so.
Yeah, he's already seen a ghost. He's expecting a lot more out of this. I mean, he was starting at Unicorn. So yeah, for it to just be the place where people poop.
His opening bid
bit of a...
was Unicorn, that's yeah. True. I spoke to my sister about the encounter, and she exasperatedly explained that to Jessica, farts and poos are the funniest thing imaginable.
Oh, good girl. Good girl, Jess.
Wise. Wise beyond her years.
A clever child.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yes.
Apparently, she brags quite frequently to her parents when she does a big poo or a particularly smelly fart. Yep.
Wow. And what a legend, Jess. Yeah.
And
she's
taken...
going to be a lot of... She's going to be a real fun gal.
Party lady.
Party lady. Party farty lady.
Party toilet woman.
That's a costume, Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Party toilet woman.
Party toilet woman. She brags, and she has taken to calling her farts Barnaby for no reason that her parents can explain.
Barnaby.
That's funny.
That's funny.
E.g., I did a Barnaby earlier that smelled of eggs.
Oh my god, wow. Gosh, she's hardcore even for us.
Yeah, she's already using slightly abstract language. That's good.
A Barnaby.
Yeah. I wonder where she's gone that from. Midsummer Murders? No. I can only imagine what her 3-year-old sister is going to be subjected to as they grow up together. As I say... When she is old enough, I think I may cement my reputation as favourite aunt by introducing her to this podcast and a whole world of poo-related comedy.
God, I don't know how many episodes there will be to catch up on then.
I think by then we'll be in the Library of Congress, won't we? Stored as a historical artifact.
BBC we'll archives. It's like the Pathé. There'll be Pathé footage of us. Black and white. Slightly juddery. Talking
yeah.
about shit and piss.
Yeah. Comedians, young comedians in 70 years will just be like, I mean, when you look back at the way that they talked about poo, I mean, it's the reason that we have Channel Poo today. Toilet Hour. I mean, all the greats really started from there.
Yeah. Things you couldn't imagine the comedy landscape without are only here because Phil and Pierre.
She continues, I will need to warn Jess to be careful of where she listens to the podcast, however, as I learned to my own detriment recently. I was getting an Uber home from work after a particularly busy day. I'm a grumpy and cynical millennial, therefore I do not like making small talk with anyone. And I also detest listening to the sound of awful, that fucking hellfire that is LBC.
Hear, hear.
Mm.
Oh, the other day I got in an Uber and he was blasting Alex Jones.
No.
It was just an Alex Jones show, like just crazy fucking Alex Jones shit.
Really?
And I was like, here we go. And I looked at how much time was left in the ride, and it was 1 hour.
No.
Yeah, Alex. I've never met anyone actually plays Alex Jones, let alone played it like out loud in public. And he was just blasting it. And then like weirdly late into the journey, he was like, so how's your day been? And we started talking, and so from what I can gather, he believes that he kept talking about celestial beings.
Oh, this sounds like David Icke territory, yeah.
We were put here by celestial beings. And he said, like early humans, we developed too quickly. We developed quickly than we should have, and that can only be explained because celestial beings came down and taught us how to govern. And then I said, but systems of government have changed within the last, like, recent history. So what is it? And he said, well, yeah, when then they came down and they changed it. I mean, to go to your point about not engaging with these conversations, I engaged with, like, the best of, what's it? Good, what's it called? Argue in good faith.
Good faith?
Yeah, and I mean, I knew he was. I was not going to convince him that it was not celestial beings, but I still enjoyed chatting to him. I enjoyed it. But I was also relieved to get out of the car. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Blasting Alex Jones. Never come across that before.
What, did you hear anything particularly mental?
It was about COVID. It was about the vaccines.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I tried my best to tune out, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. It is difficult to argue with a man for whom the answer to everything is the phrase celestial beings.
Yeah.
Where's my rent? Celestial beings took it, etc. In order to avoid exactly that fate, she says, I therefore decided to spend my journey home listening to the episode of Bud Pod that I had started that morning.
Mm.
Good choice.
No, that's good. Nice. In the Uber, yeah.
Not wanting to seem rude, I politely told the driver that I needed to listen to something for work, so I wouldn't be able to talk for the remainder of the journey.
I am so honored to be part of this particular lie, because it's a lie I indulge in all the time.
Of course he couldn't be annoyed about that, she says. Yep.
Mm. Mm.
He turned down the radio as I put in my headphones and pressed play on my phone, excited to listen to my favorite podcast and put the stress of the day behind me.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. Immediately, I knew something was wrong.
Oh, no.
Instead of being played directly into my ears, Pierre's booming voice, hello, was suddenly projected out of my phone speaker at full volume.
Yeah. Oh, no. It happens.
As I fumbled with my phone to press pause, Pierre had just enough time to say, quote, there he was, with his pants around his ankles, covered in vomit and shit.
I mean, considering her line of work, that might have been for work.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that could easily be for work.
Yeah. Although it would more likely have been she, I suppose, if it's Ops and Gainey.
Yes, unless a husband has had
talking about the husband who's, watching.
Really bad reaction.
And losing his mind.
Just at the... with the sound of Phil's laughter in the background, she says, I caught the eyes of the driver in the rearview mirror as I managed to reconnect my phone to my headphones, attempting and failing to look unfazed. I'm not sure to this day whether the driver thought that it was just a very inappropriate comment during a call, or whether he rightly suspected I was lying and discovered I actually live a bum-bum life and find poo and vomit hilarious. Either way, he was silent for the rest of the journey, aside from the courtesy, have a good evening, when he dropped me off. I was tempted to use, I'm a doctor, as an excuse. Or saying, okay, thank you. But instead I sloped off quietly and gave him 5 stars and a tip for his silence. A tip for your silence, boy. Like a Jack the Ripper escaping in a hansom cab.
That's funny. A tip for your silence.
Tip for your silence. Keep up the good work, Koji Georgie.
Thanks, Georgie.
So
absolutely thrilled once again with the prestigious nature of our listenership. And it's good to know that even the good and the great, the doctors, the Ops and Gynae specialists, are unwinding at the end of the day with Bud Pod.
Yes. The various PSs she attaches, there are wipe dispensers at her gym called Wipe Pod, so that she says that could be good merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
She's attached a wall of tat where she's found another version of the man cave rules, which are basically the same as the previous ones, but are written in a kind of more caveman-y way. Man controls all remotes. Things like that. Repellent.
No.
And PPPPS, she says, I love the Netflix special, Phil. Incredible work. Also happy to hear I can perform a Chinese accent in public now. Thank you for the green light.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, still do be careful. I won't always be around to tell everyone it's okay. So,
yeah. Phil, could you just tweet your mobile number so people can ring you and they're in an argument about that? Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for the correspondence. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will let you know when there are more live BudPod opportunities. But in the meantime, take the substitute drug of my Soho Theatre run and Phil's tour show, please.
Yes, please, please, please. Until next time, see you soon. And I wonder who'll be Prime Minister next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.